Welcome to episode 41 of Super States, Practices of Transformation with me, your host, Joshua Peters. Super States explores the crossroad of trance states with personal and professional growth. And in every episode of Super States, we talk to world-class experts, to industry leaders, and to revolutionary thinkers who share with us the latest information, tools, along with their own personal stories that are there to inspire us on our journeys. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast host or subscribe on YouTube so you can stay up to date with new episodes. And if you get something from this show, if you like it and you enjoy it, give me a 5-star review. That's the best way to help the show grow. This week, I speak with Vanessa Westman. Vanessa is a breathwork practitioner and a relational coach. She approaches breathwork holistically, using breath to connect body, mind, and soul. Vanessa is driven by this deep desire to help people heal, to let go of limiting belief systems and find transformation and peace through the power of your breath. Stay tuned, dear listeners, for authenticity and connection through unlimited breath with Vanessa Westman. Welcome to Super States. I am here with Vanessa Westman. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm excited to hear all about you. Vanessa, just to get started, tell us what you do and how that impacts people's lives.
Awesome. Yeah. So I am a breathwork coach, practitioner, and a relational coach. And so I have found that breathwork helps. It's a holistic approach to connecting to your mind, your body, and your spirit. And it's like a self-discovery. It's a release. It's almost like finding your way back home into yourself as well. So it's like both expansive and an inward experience. And so I think it helps people find out who they are. Yeah. And what, like, their purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've had some breathwork experience myself, and it can be really powerful work for sure. How did you get into this? Give us your origin story.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I was born to a family of like yoga people. My mom and dad were devout yogis, sitting with a teacher from the Himalayas here in Minneapolis on a regular basis. And so at a very young age, I was kind of exposed to, you know, the yogic arts. And my dad took it very seriously. He went on to become a yoga teacher. And so he's always been practicing pranayama. Pranayama is the breath work in yoga, right? Mm-hmm. And so like it's very common to see my dad doing like different breath work practices. I never really fully understood, you know, what it did when I was young, but later I got very interested in yoga. So my dad has been a big influence in my life as far as like becoming a breathwork coach or a healer or you know, someone who really wants to make a difference in the world. And so I kind of followed in his footsteps. And then he became a breathwork coach in the early 2000s. At that time, I was in my 20s. I was pretty young and still not very interested, you know, still kind of wanting to party and whatever. But he was pretty diligent about saying, hey, come breathe, come breathe, come breathe. And so finally I did. And it was so transformational for me. Like I finally got to a point where I was like, okay, like I can see how, you know, my belief systems and, you know, there are certain themes in my life that I couldn't really let go of. I couldn't mentally, emotionally just release them. And so when I finally decided to do the breath work with my dad is when I discovered that we can let go, we can heal. And so I believe that there are lots of different modalities because there's different ways that different people need to heal. And I happen to really have found breath work to be the most healing path for me. And I've always wanted to help people. Like, it's just been in my soul ever since a really young age. I wanted to make a difference. I saw, you know, I was able to see the suffering in the world. I suffered. Like, I was a very emotionally child, an emotional child. And I was, you know, I felt so much and I wasn't able to really manage it on my own. So I went through, you know, depression and different things in my teenage years. And I found that breathwork was able to help me let go of the belief systems finally. It's like I was able to connect. And then through that, I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to help people. So, and now that I've breathed so many people, it is consistently making a difference. It's not like once in a while it helps somebody or one out of three people. Like, every single client that I work with leaves with transformation. That's incredible. Blows my mind every time. Yeah.
Well, I know there's a lot of different, I guess, families or lineages of breath work. Where does where does yours originate from?
Yeah. So I was trained by my father, and he was trained by a man named Arne Rattson. He is a Swedish man. He has a very, very interesting story if anyone wants to Google him. He's a very fascinating man. I believe he received a lot of his breathwork knowledge from Sandra Ray and Leonard Orr. Though Sandra Ray and Leonard Orr were sort of like the grandmother and grandfather of breathwork. So if you're a breathworker, usually you know about them. They founded the rebirthing style of breathwork. And so Arne was studied in that. And then he added this component called creative questions, because we talk to ourselves in question form. And so it starts working on the birth belief systems, the belief systems that come from our first traumatic experience, which is our birth. And instantly there's a question that gets formed. It's like our first program in our brain. And that's what we start working on in Unlimited Breath with Arne's work. And it's incredible how when you can bring in a positive question with breath, what can happen? It's like you're in fusing a positive thought with life force energy.
Yeah.
And then you're able to embody it and release the belief systems that, you know, are kind of holding you back or keeping you stuck.
What are some of the beliefs that show up from that first experience?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say probably the one that I see surface the most is, why am I not enough? So in most people's sessions, because I work with people for 10 weeks, and throughout the weeks, we kind of peel the onion, we kind of peel away the different belief systems that kind of keep people stuck or keep my clients stuck. And I'm not enough pretty much comes up with everyone's. It was one that, like, working with that one myself was monumental to me sitting here today. Mm-hmm. You know, it was monumental to me believing that I can even be a coach or be a healer, or be anyone that's, you know, capable of like holding this kind of space. So, I'm not enough. I'm not wanted is a big one. I'm not loved. There's so many. I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these, you know, like the birth experience is like one of the most traumatic, it is the most traumatic experience of your life. And it, and that's for a reason. So before we're born, we're like light. We're just, you know, energy basically, right? And we come into a body, which is, if you can think of it like an empty computer, like our brains are like an empty computer until we have experiences to inform us of that we even exist, right?
Okay, sure.
So we develop these senses when we're in the womb. And so like it does start in conception, like the belief systems are about ourselves start in conception. So like the way you're conceived impacts how how you think about yourself, mm-hmm. and then how your mother and father interacted when you're in the womb, or how your mother felt when you're in the womb impacts like how your body develops even, and how your mind develops, right? And then you go through this really intense experience going through the birth canal. And that it's like, it's kind of like, I think about it like astrology. It's like when you're born at a certain time, it's like there's certain energy imprints, and that kind mm-hmm. of makes up who you are, and you can kind of see your whole destiny from that. The birth experience is very similar. So like when I work with a client, I can look at the way they do projects in life, because these are habits, right? So you might get stuck at a certain area and doing your projects, and or you might feel nervous, or you might feel like you can't do it, or you might like drag your feet a little bit. These oftentimes we can directly link it to what their birth experience is like. So it's interesting. So you don't have to know what your birth experience is in order to know what sure. you don't have to remember it in order to figure out what it is. We just look at
probably
how you
a good
live
thing, because I can't imagine most people remember their yeah. birth at least exactly. consciously.
Well, sometimes our parents will. So I always tell my clients, you know, if you do have the opportunity to talk to your parents, but oftentimes sure. our parents have amnesia about that too. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and really like we live the way we breathe. So a lot of my work too is like, it's looking at how are people breathing? Like, are you breathing? Number one, you know, where are you breathing in your body? And that tells you a lot about, you know, your birth experience as well.
What?
Because you take your first breath.
So give me an example of how, I talk a lot about breath too. Breath is literally the only unconscious mm-hmm. part of our nervous system that we have any control over, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's exactly. vital to be able to start to use that. There's a lot of people that end up breathing real shallow, kind of in the top of their lungs, and that's mm-hmm. just kind of becomes normal to them. What would that show you? As a practitioner.
It shows you that you're like you're afraid to let yourself be seen. It shows that you are like they say, like if you breathe shallow, you're living shallow. Like you're not living to your full potential, right? So if you're and you can see it, like a lot people who are breathing like this, like they're usually dealing with some sort of anxiety, some depression, you know, they're usually yeah. dealing with some kind of psychological stuff. And so in our approach, instead of changing the psychological, we change the way we breathe. Because like our breath informs our mind as much as our mind informs our breath, right? It goes both ways. And that's why I feel like breath work is the magic key. It's like the key to gaining control and getting in the driver's seat of your life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's simple. it's complex. It's a complex science and art, but it's really simple because we all breathe anyway. Mm-hmm. So bringing some awareness to it, like a little bit of awareness can bring a lot of change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example or like a description of what somebody might experience in a breathwork session in the style that you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's lots of things that people can experience.
I guess what I'm asking is like, what's the format?
Oh, okay.
What would somebody expect maybe, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that we'll experience as you go through the breathwork, but kind of like, how do you start it? How do you have them breathe? Like kind of whatever you would, how would you share that to somebody who's like, I don't even know what's going to happen here.
Yeah. Breathwork, yeah.
Don't you just breathe?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, in my session, I spend like about an hour. So my sessions are 3 hours because I feel like people really long for time to be heard. And I think that's something we don't always get. And so I spend about an hour really exploring this person's world. What is it like to be you? What are these belief systems that are in your way? Like really trying to understand like where these people are coming from. And then we go over some like content, you know, we talk about the belief systems, the neural pathways. We talk about changing, you know, the outlook, putting our rose colored glasses on, you could say. So there's many, many layers of what we kind of work through with people from week to week. And then the breath work itself is actually really simple. So we breathe into the chest. And so we breathe into the chest because we hold trauma in our lungs. And so we're not trying to re-traumatize you, but we want to access what's stuck, right? If you're stuck in life, I believe we need to feel it to heal it. So it's an opportunity. And so like when people are breathing, it gives me an opportunity to look at how they're breathing. And if they're, you know, having trouble breathing, they're having trouble with life, right? And so I coach them. So we breathe into the chest and then we breathe continuously. So we do what's called an infinite breath. So we like one, the in breath and the out breath are connected, mm-hmm. and we find a rhythm so that there's no pause in between. I tell people to kind of visualize like the ocean, like where the tide, the waves of the ocean just coming in and out, in and out. And the goal is for your breath to breathe you, because eventually you can get into this state where your body, it's amazing, like our bodies will just take over and start breathing on its own. And so we're breathing into the chest, we're breathing continuously, we're breathing fully. So we want to breathe fully into the chest. So I almost imagine like my collarbones here just like kind of expanding. So we're breathing really deep up into the chest. And then it's important to relax and surrender to the experience and to be aware, to just stay aware of your experience. And so I would say that the most challenging part is breathing. Like people really have a hard time breathing. People, you know, because we breathe in kind of like at the level we feel worthy of life, you know, because like breath is prana, it's life force energy, right? And so if we don't feel worthy of that, we're gonna, you know, so it's really important that we work on the belief systems as well. But I really think that, like, if we can just breathe and expand, it's amazing what happens. And so people on my table, they have lots of mystical experiences. They'll see colors, they'll have chakra healings, loved ones will visit them. People will have like physical sensations of going through the birth canal. People will shake and, you know, think like your body will just start moving and doing things as a way to release, because we hold trauma in our cells. So our bodies will start releasing that because we're like infusing ourselves with this life force energy. People have divine realizations. People have like feelings of overwhelm of peace and love. You know, they'll have heart openings. It's endless. I could go on and on.
Yeah, no, it sounds like there are all kinds of different types of experiences that you can have that are very, like, you're describing altered states pretty easily there.
Yes.
I'm curious, Vanessa, how the relational coaching ties in with the breath work.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the relational coaching ties into breath work, but it laid a foundation for the way I am with people.
Okay.
And the way I coach. So, you know, like I said, I like to give people time to, like, you know, have their world be known, right? And that's part of the training that I did with authentic relating and circling. It's like, you know, giving time for self-inquiry with another person. It's very cathartic. It's very, it can help us have insights and breakthroughs and things, you know, just from having someone be curious about your world and what it's like to be you. Because oftentimes we don't even ask ourselves what it's like to be me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So having someone be like, huh, what's it like to be you? And be curious about what you say, that it in and of itself is really transformative.
And so that's basically what authentic relating is. It's just connecting with curiosity. Is that?
That could be a really simple way of describing it. I would say authentic relating is a series of games and practices that people do together to create a sense of authentic connection. So when I'm leading authentic relating, I tell people, it's like we're flexing a muscle that is weak, which is vulnerability, which is curiosity, which is presence, which is reflective listening. Mm-hmm. You know, so we practice these things so that we can be more authentic, you know, and like the more I allow myself to be vulnerable, let's say, the more it gives an invitation for you to be vulnerable. So the more honest I am about myself with you, then the more honest you are about yourself with me. Hmm. And then it's like, what I love about it is we're not alone in our human experience so much. Because if you say you're great all the time and I say I'm great all the time and everyone's great all the time, but like behind the scenes, we're really not great. We're all experiencing our humanity alone. And I think that we've, in this day of age, we're running into that a lot more because of social media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I don't, you know, people don't go on social media like, well, most of the time people don't go on and say, oh, like life sucks. You know what I mean? This part of my life is really hard. You know, people do, but there's something about practicing this in community that fosters like really deep, beautiful authenticity. And that's a passion of mine too.
I resonate with that. It sounds like for you that that relating piece was really important, and then you layer the breath work on top of that. Like you've already built a connection with somebody now you're taking the breath work to allow them to go even deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people say that working with me, they're able to like really open up fast because I care, mm-hmm. And it's obvious because I'm curious.
I had a mentor who early on in my coaching career, he told me that sometimes all people really want is a cheerleader. And that mm-hmm. stuck with me for a long, that's still there at the top of my mind when I'm totally. In front of people, because that's so true.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. I would say, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think in my experience working with people, the people who don't have cheerleaders suffer the most, who haven't had a cheerleader in their life, right?
Well, it comes back to what you said. If everybody's great and nobody's actually being real, you're isolated.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What would you say has changed the most about your coaching practice from when you started until now?
Well, I've brought in a number of things. Definitely confidence, because I breathe a lot, like a pretty big handful of people now. And so like a deeper level of like trusting myself as a coach, of course. I've layered in some sound healing qualities to it. So I can kind of tune into like what chakra people are kind of stuck in based on kind of what we're doing. And I'll do sound healing at the end of people's breath work, mm-hmm. like during the integration. And that's been really powerful for people. There's some other things that I actually don't have privy to speak to yet, because it's still in kind of the creation space or whatever. So some really, really amazing, cool things coming up. And I've actually recently combined forces with my sister, Shelly. She's my oldest sister. I'm the youngest of six, so she's the firstborn. I'm the lastborn. We're like coming together in this really magical way. And so she's also trained in the same modality as breathwork. My dad trained her, and then my dad and her trained me. Hmm. And so her and I have created a breathwork, business called Infinite Breath. So we're kind of like bringing the most important elements of our coaching, and we're bringing it to group breathwork now here in Minneapolis. Mm. So we're doing workshops and then like a monthly community breathwork opportunity. Mm-hmm. So that's all just kind of in the beginning stages. So I think one of the biggest ways that my practice has changed is that now I'm working with groups, which is really exciting. I mm-hmm. love working with groups. So
yeah, there's something about a group energy that changes. It creates a kind of a life of its own.
Yes, totally. And when you get people breathing together, it's like praying together. That's why I look at it.
I think that's why we all, you'll sing a song together, or we do things as praying together, right? These are ways we're using our voice, we're syncing, mm-hmm. including our breath now. If we're singing together, doing the same thing, we're syncing together, mm-hmm. creating a group mind in many ways.
Yes, yes, totally. So I'm super excited to build a breathwork community. I think breathwork communities are starting on the coast, like I know for sure on the West Coast. And I think within the next couple of years, Minneapolis is going to have like a pretty thriving breathwork community, if I have anything to do with it.
All right. Well, let's bring it on.
Yeah.
What would you say is most misunderstood about breathwork?
that it's hard. Or that, like, it's either hard or it's scary. Like, you know, you're going to get into some altered state and you won't have any control, you know. First thing I say to the response, it's hard. It's like, well, it's as hard as you experience your life, you know. So we can work on that. And then, I mean, I understand. I mean, people are don't really want to get into the unknown. People are kind of afraid of the unknown, right? And so with breath, depending on the type of breath work you do, like I tell everybody in my group breath work, you know, if you don't want to get into an altered state, I show people another style of breath work, which will just, you know, quiet your nervous system and regulate your nervous system. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's kind of cool. Like recently I started leading breath work for an event called Sauna and Sobriety. So mm-hmm. it's this group of, I don't know if you've heard of it. They're like,
I have heard of it. I've been invited to the event from a couple different people in my network.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't made it to one yet, but.
Yeah. They're awesome. If you can make it to one, the group of women who are starting this, they're amazing women. And, but what's so cool is like, we're bringing breath work to an environment where like people are wanting to be sober. People are wanting to, you know, party sober. And so what's like the best way to get into an altered state, you know, while sober is like your breath. So we can get high on our breath. We can party with our breath. I've gone to dance church before and I've just done a bunch of breathing and then, you know, dancing. And it's like, you get into this really beautiful, incredible space. So, you know, like breath is like a pharmacy. You can literally, there's a style of breath work for like any sort of element or, you know, state that you want to get into. It's pretty wild. So yeah, I mean, it's blows my mind how like right here, yeah. I can, you know, I have so much control.
Yeah.
You know, and so like people are get afraid of getting into those altered states. So I think that's, you know, it's understandable, but you're also in more control than you think. So I'd like people to know, like, if you get into an altered state, you can get out of it very simply mm-hmm. by going to nose breathing and slowing mm-hmm. down your breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I know that's a long-winded explanation of that question.
Okay. You know, I asked a question. So you shared that there is a style of breath that calms your nervous system. Would you mind describing that to us? Or walking me through it even?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just lead you through it. So go ahead and just close your eyes. And put one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly. And I just want you to take a few deep breaths here. And now I just want you to notice what hand rises first on your next inhale. So the goal is for the hand on your belly to be the one to rise first. So if it's not, just...
Yeah, that's the one that rises first.
Yeah, so when you're breathing diaphragmatically, it tells your nervous system that you're safe. So this is a way that you can use your breath to inform your nervous system. Like, it's that simple.
Wow.
It's that simple.
That's awesome.
Right? Like, how do you feel after just a few breaths?
I mean, I feel calm. I wasn't necessarily
yeah.
in a bad state, but
yeah.
But definitely feel just chill.
Yeah. And then if you want to add on to that, like a longer exhalation is also going to help inform your nervous system that you're safe, right? So breathing in to four, breathing out to eight, breathing in to four, breathing out to eight. That's also going to inform your nervous system that you're safe. And so you can get out of that like fight, flight, freeze if you're like in a, you know, you can just.
Yeah. If somebody was to explore breath work, is there anything they need to be aware of? Any kind of risks to it? Is anything they like? Any kind of health issues that they need to be conscious of?
Mm-hmm. You know, breath work is such a vast, you know, kind of blanket statement for, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many styles of breath work. If you're going to do like conscious connected breathing where you're breathing, you know, up into your chest and you're breathing rhythmically and you're breathing for a long time, you're getting to those altered states. It's really important. Like you don't want to do that if you have like COPD, if you have heart conditions, if you have like a pacemaker, if you have seizures, stuff like that, you'd want to talk to your doctor about it first. If you're pregnant, you know, because when you do this type of breathing, there is a metabolic thing that happens, you know, there's an effect that happens in your body that actually brings you into altered states. So,
okay.
If you have any like chronic conditions, if you have cancer or stuff like that, but otherwise, like I love what my dad says, my dad would always say, no one has died from breathing. Because when I was training, I was very concerned about these things, you know, like what happens? Like I had to know the science. I actually did a whole year training so I could learn the whole science, like what exactly happens in your body when you're breathing yeah. like this and how does it all work? So, but yeah, like my dad said, you know, no one has died from breathing. So
I like that. How do you, so you kind of mentioned before that you're looking to bring this group breath work experience to the Twin Cities here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And they have them on, it sounds like they're on the coast as well. What do you see the future of, how do you envision the future of using this kind of style of altered consciousness to mm-hmm. to transform your life?
Like to transform my life or to transform but like in the general, community?
For let's say for personal or even for professional growth.
Oh yeah. I think that we are in a time of great change. I think that we are living in a time where people want natural solutions to problems. I think we're living in a time where people are hungry for holistic approaches to wellness. I think people are hungry for connection, for like understanding, you know, where we came from and why, you know, to really understand who we are and our origins. And everything you need to know is within. Everything is within. And breath work, our breath shows us, will show you the way. Mm. It's so for myself, I had to trust my breath. I had to trust that if I change the way I breathe, I'll be okay. I don't have to change the world. I don't need to change all my thoughts. There are some thoughts that I change, but not through like force, through my connection with spirit. And so like, you know, I talk a lot about surrender. You know, I've been doing a deep process of surrendering to the divine. Like I can't possibly create change from like a mind that created the problems, you know? And so in my personal experience, when I have a problem, I breathe. I go back to, you know, communing with breath, which is spirit, which is prana, you know? And the answers are there, you know? And so I don't need to look outside of myself anymore for answers. They're all within. And I think that the more I do that for myself and the more I trust myself, the more I can be a conduit for that in the community. Mm. And, you know, I really believe that we are connected to something so much greater beyond, like it's beyond our wildest imagination.
Yeah.
And the breath is what connects us to that thing. So I'm excited about that. I feel passionate about that. And I've already seen the difference that it's made in my own life. And I want to help other people discover that for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's the key right there, is like so many of us have had transformational experiences in one form or another, and then want to take that out and help others.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to learn more about you, Vanessa. What's the best way for them to do that?
So I do have a website. It's connectionmystic.com. So it's pretty simple. Spelled exactly the way it sounds. So you can find out about authentic relating, relational meditation, breath work. There's like three styles of breath work that I offer. So you can, mm-hmm. And then currently updating my website with Infinite Breath, so my group offerings. And then I do different collaborations. So you'll see that stuff on my website as well. Okay. I'm also on Instagram under Connection Mystic. And on Facebook under my name, Vanessa Wiesman. That's how you can find me if you're...
I will make sure to put links to all of those in the notes.
Amazing.
What's the one thing that you want the listeners to leave with today?
Breathe. Take a breath. Trust your breath. And... it's like you can trust your breath. That's what I want people to know. Like, you can totally trust your breath.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time today, Vanessa. It's been a breath of fresh air.
Totally. Thank you, Joshua. It's been really great talking to you and sharing my story.